You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
Man, we are chowing down on Liberty Kitchen. Eddie Robinson's in the house. I just got the Persian salad that's crazy with big pieces of shrimp. We got some of the fried chicken. What'd you have, Victor? That's a nice chicken. Plate there. Tyler, what did you have, Tyler?
I ate some of those tacos, the deep fried tacos.
Oh, man.
Amazing. And then the pimento cheese has been...
I just took a little bit of the pimento, too. It's pretty awesome. Welcome back to Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. Again, we've been talking tonight. We had Alexi Lalas on reacting to the Michael Bradley response to the Alexi rant. It's been interesting talking about that. I think there's bigger picture to that. And then we've also talked about the Dynamo. So we'll take your calls throughout the next hour. Eddie Robinson, the former Dynamo defender, also on the Cube as the color analyst or provides match analysis.
Hey.
Match analysis. Eddie, welcome in.
Thank you for having me, Glenn.
Yeah, it's nice to see your face. It's been a tough day with hurricanes in the Caribbean, and I'm thinking about all our friends here in Houston trying to get back to normal living situations. And then we got an earthquake in Mexico. We got a hit in Miami. So... it's nice to see a smiling face.
Always, buddy.
Yeah.
Always.
So, I don't know. Did you hear the Alexi Lalas interview at all driving in?
I did not.
Okay. You know what? You saw his rant.
I did see his rant.
You saw the response from Michael Bradley,
I completely
right?
agreed with his rant, and I thought that it was a bit disappointing from Michael Bradley. He's the captain of the United States. They have been very poor. Who's going to step up and have some accountability? Who's going to take responsibility? If you're Michael Bradley, if I'm Michael Bradley, I'm going to say, you know what? Maybe Alexi was a little harsh, but we haven't been good. We must be better. If we do not qualify for the World Cup, that's a complete and utter failure, and that's embarrassing. Where they sit right now is a bit embarrassing.
So the point I raised was the bigger question here is, are we overly sensitive as a soccer nation in this country?
Oh, most fans are.
And do you realize that more now being on the other side, being in the media with me? Because this is the hard thing. This is the hard thing because it's very hard for us to get out of our own concentric circle of thought.
Well,
but when you become on the media side, you see it's different and you see it has to be entertainment. And you see what Alexi's doing is entertainment. And by the way, got a tremendous amount of publicity for the sport of soccer, whether you like it or not.
100%. And hey, here's the thing. With the explosion of soccer in the last 5 years, with social media, with television, as we're seeing ESPN tonight is broadcasting the U.S. Open Cup final, the egos of the players have been exploded as well. And it's tough for them to take criticism. It's tough for them to take responsibility when they are not good. The soccer fan in the United States now. Oh, U.S. soccer isn't as bad as people think it is. If you criticize, let's say you criticize Kansas City, every Kansas City fan is going to come out and blast you on Twitter, even if they've had a couple of bad games. Every FC Dallas fan is going to come blast you because they take it so personal. It's tough for people right now to be objective. And I'm okay with that because that's part of the growing process. It's part of it.
And it shows there's loyalty to a fan base. I like that too. But like, for instance, if I put on Twitter right now, hey, Seattle, Portland, New England, Minnesota, and whoever else has artificial surface, Atlanta. Can you imagine if I said this to Atlanta?
Oh,
and I said, hey, love everything you're doing in some of those markets, certainly Atlanta and certainly Portland and Seattle. But guess what? You're not authentic because you're playing on plastic.
Oh, you'd get
and the rest of the world doesn't. I would get totally abused because most people would. How can you criticize us? We just drew 70,000 people, but it's not authentic. I'm sorry.
It's not grass. It's not grass. It's tough to play on. It's I think it's hard to measure yourself against teams that play on grass versus artificial surfaces. It's not the same. The game is not the same ever. But let's give Atlanta a lot of credit. Absolutely destroyed.
Oh, they're destroying everybody.
L.A. tonight, 4-0. On a Wednesday night, they drew 42,000. It's impressive. I don't like the surface, but I agree with you. What they're doing is
so that's
impressive.
Good. We blew the theory out of the water that you can still draw on a Wednesday night. So yeah. I'm glad we're knocking all these myths and these old ancient myths out of the water. The Great Danes in studio from Danish Inspirations Contemporary Furniture, Jan Christensen. Jan, welcome in. And by the way, did you get to sample any of the Liberty Kitchen spread that's out there before you came in?
I did not. I just came from a University of St. Thomas event, you know, our great women's team. You know, we had a little gathering at University of St. Thomas. You know, we have a great women's team where I'm lucky to be the assistant coach, and we're doing great, and we have a great coach there, Coach Nick, from an American-Serbian guy, and we have a great program there, and I'm really proud of the girls and what Coach Nick is doing for the game.
By the way, tell us the story of how the girls got together, because one of the girls on your team, they lost a house in the flood. Tell us about what Nick, and you. I want you to pronounce Nick's last name.
Nick Bajarekovic.
Okay, so Nick Bajarekovic is the coach of St. Thomas. But
that's right.
Tell a story about what the young ladies on the team did.
Well, of course, as everybody else, they were traumatized from the flood, and the girls decided they wanted to get together and help. We had a couple of girls that had severe damage. I mean, literally was rescued by boat and everything. And the girls got together, Nick and the coaches, they went down and helped them clean out the houses and so on. And also they did other houses as well in the KD area and so on. So, I mean, it was a great initiative and a great part for the girls to feel a part of the community and feel that they're helping out during a difficult time.
Oh, amazing stories. And we've heard a lot of these stories. Bill McDonald at Strake Jesuit was taking his team out repeatedly to go to homes and kind of pull out all that soiled drywall, and then you got to pull out all that insulation that's full of bacteria. So great stuff. All right, Jan, you heard us talking about healthy pressure. So Victor showed me, when we went to break, Victor Ariza showed me the score of the Montreal game.
Jeez.
5-1. But what was interesting to me was I had jotted in my notes tonight to talk about their owner, Joey Saputo, who came out very brash in the press, used the press as a vehicle to send the message that he's incredibly unhappy with the team, the coach, et cetera, in Montreal, especially based on what they did last year and how far they went. So I turn around and look at that scoreline against Toronto, and it's in Toronto, apparently. And I'm saying to myself, what? That had to have a direct impact on his players and his staff.
I mean, could you call him the Jerry Jones of Major League Soccer?
But for everybody who says, we don't listen and that – we don't react to that. That's all garbage. But what do you think, Jan?
Well, I really think that looking at the Houston Dynamos, what kind of pressure do they have?
I'm not saying the Dynamo specifically. You can weave the Dynamo in, but I'm just talking about an owner in general calling out a team.
That is what have to be done. They have to be done by the owner. It has to be done by the coach. You know, and I don't feel my judgment is not happening enough. It has to happen more because, you know, as was said about some of the egos are so big now that they think they're all superstars, and you know it's not my fault. No, they have to be woken up. They have to be woken up, and they have to get a knife to their throat and say, okay, guys, you're going to give 110% tonight. You're not going to have all that 90% stuff. We're going to give 110%. And I don't think they're told that enough. I think a lot of them are walking through the league as, well, I'm signing a contract, I'm a star. And, the leadership have to step up. And going back to the Dynamo, sometimes, a lot of times, I miss the Dynamo's leadership stepping up. I miss, of course, the press putting pressure on the players saying, you guys, you don't play well.
The press aren't allowed
to. We don't have
right.
The press aren't allowed to put pressure on the Dynamo. The front office will shun you. If you talk about the Dynamo playing poorly.
But you are. We just don't have enough independent people here analyzing soccer.
No, I agree with Jan 100%, is that there's absolutely no accountability, at least publicly. Maybe it happens behind closed doors. Maybe it happens in the locker room. Maybe Wilmer Cabrera gets on these guys for poor play, for poor behavior, but doesn't happen in public. And that's what really lights a fire under these guys, is when they're getting hammered in social media, when the fans are paying good money to come see them play and they're not playing well and the fans are saying, hey, what are you doing?
So you're stinking it up. So let's look at MLS. We do have some owners like Saputo in Montreal, and a lot of times if they step out in the press and the newspaper, you know, there's that delicate balance between that person and a coach, right? Or a sporting director, right? But I don't think there's any question that most fans are going to want to see a little bit, you know, they want an owner that's active in their market, don't you think? And I don't think coaches in MLS particularly want to take the risk of using the media to send messages to their players.
Yeah. I mean, that can be dangerous, but see, I'm all for transparency. Yeah. Right? I'm all for transparency. I'm all for guys being accountable, for players being accountable. If you make a mistake in a game and I tell you that you made a mistake in a game, that's not me attacking you personally. That's me telling you that you can do better. And that's why they're called managers, because they have to understand which players they have to be gentle with, which players they can be public with. But the fans in general, they're not going to be soft with anyone. If you don't do well, if you don't do your job, if you're getting paid a lot of money to do a job and you're not successful, you're going to hear it. And that's part and parcel of your profession.
Real quick, Ian, you had a big score. We're going to continue this discussion, Eddie. Thank you for that comment. Real quick, Real Madrid today. Tell us, what happened?
Oh. Yeah, Real Madrid was totally dominating the game. And Betis came out in the beginning, had some big chances and missed them. But Real Madrid had like 15 shots against three, I think. And it's clear to me that some defense have figured out a way to stop Ronaldo and Bale when Benzema is not there. I think Benzema is a big missing piece for them. So they have figured out a way to stop Ronaldo and Bale, and they just couldn't score today. And it's very interesting. They're 7 points behind now, Barcelona.
All right, calling all Real Madrid fans and Real Madrid Peña here in Houston. Take a break. We got more with Eddie Robinson. We got more with Jan Christensen. 713-780-3776. As the host of Soccer Matters, I remind you that nothing goes better together than great friends and Bud Light. We're down to the playoff run here in Major League Soccer, Premier League, the Bundesliga, La Liga, all up and running now. So post up at a pool, get down to your favorite pub or bar like the Gorgeous Gale or King's Court. But most importantly, grab your friends and an ice cold bucket of Bud Lights, whether it's tonight, tomorrow, or any other day of the week. It's not about the parties. It's about the friends you made along the way. Bud Light, official beer of Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Houston, we're thinking of you.
Looking for something to do this weekend? Visit culturemap.com to find out everything going on in the city. You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Glenn Davis.
Messi at midfield. Paulinho bursting along.
Football.
The Brazilian back to Messi.
Magic.
Into the box. Messi.
Brilliant.
Through the legs and into the net for the hat trick. Paulinho puts the paint on the palette and Messi the goal on the board.
Beautiful football from one end of the field to the other. Lionel Messi gets his hat trick.
Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious Ray Hudson. Ray with Ray there and Phil Shane on BN Sport there. So Messi hits for a hat trick. It's a loss today for Real Madrid. We've been talking a number of things tonight. We do want you to call in tonight. What is the situation with the Houston Dynamo? Can they win on the road? They've got 2 out of 6 on the road. Will they make the playoffs? Dynamo fans, I want to know if you're out there. I want to know if you're listening. I want to know if you're following your team here in Houston, because you are absent quite a lot. 713-780-3776. Glenn Davis here reminding you that nothing goes better together than great friends in Bud Light. Great friends Bud Light and Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. You can also get the podcast at podcastarena.com. 7,000 to 8,000 podcasts a month, thanks to you fans. That's how many downloads. It's pretty impressive. Most importantly, when you grab your friends and listen to the show, just remember, with a bucket of Bud Lights, whether it's tonight, tomorrow, or any other day of the week, it's not about the parties, it's about the friends you made along the way. Bud Light, the official beer of Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5, Wednesdays at 7 p.m. So, healthy pressure, soccer in the United States. We also brought up Joey Saputo. He may be the best motivator in all of Major League Soccer right now because he came out in the press. It is Montreal 5-3 now against Toronto. They were up 5-1. Well, I better be quiet here because we still got to finish this one off. 8 goals between Montreal and Toronto. The Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup is going on now. Sporting Kansas City and New York. And we welcome you back into studio. Okay, so let's talk about something interesting here, guys. I do need to mention this before we get into it. I don't know if you've ever shopped at Soccer Center out near Bear Creek. Judy Ellis and her family ran that place for 27 and a half years. They decided after the flooding they're not going to reopen. They were a big part of the Houston soccer community, and many of us have gone in that store. We bought equipment there. Your team's uniforms have been picked up there from Bear Creek Park and Soccer Center. So that was the facility right down the street from Bear Creek Park where some of the Houston's finest youth talent has filtered through over the years and were honed and moved on to bigger and better things. So a big thank you to Judy Ellis and her parents. So we just wanted to acknowledge that tonight. If you have a Soccer Center story or you ever went there and you want to tell us about it, 713-780-3776. All right. Road. What's going on, Eddie? Houston Dynamo on the road. Is this psychological? What is it? Because I'm worried that this could be the undoing of the Dynamo this year when it comes to getting into the playoffs. I'm not panicking, but there needs to be a real sense of urgency. 6 games to go.
Well, that's the problem with the Dynamo this year on the road is on the attacking side, there hasn't been any urgency on the road. Ever since this back four of Beasley, Leonardo, Machado, and A.J. De La Garza have come together, they've been outstanding. They've been extremely reliable. You know, rarely giving up more than a goal a game. And you would like to think that what you saw with the Dynamo at the beginning of the year, with Elise, with Kyoto, with Cuba Torres, with Mara Minotas, how ruthless they were in attack and driving at teams and pressing teams, that would have carried over to the road, but it hasn't. And that's the question is it tactical? Is Wilmer Cabrera saying, okay, we're going to play different on the road? Is it mental? Is it the players? Is it at this point now in their head that, man, we just can't do it on the road. We're going to try to get a point, and that's that. I mean, it becomes a culture. Winning and losing becomes a culture. So that's a curious question.
But why is player performance down on the road? Because you and I have seen that. Look, as much as you can say, yes, we had a chance, and Kubo flicked the ball on and hit the post, there weren't that many chances in this game.
When the Dynamo,
what is it? Is it? And I don't want to hear it's travel and not sleeping in your own bed and all that stuff.
No. You know me. I don't make excuses for that stuff. You know, I just wonder if it's tactical. I mean, you look, when the Dynamo went to Toronto, they played with 5 across the back, and that did not work. You wonder if during the week of training, I wonder what these players are being told. Is it be more conservative? At this point in the season, it's, I'm telling Albert Elise, I'm telling Mara Minotas, I'm telling Ramel Kyoto, Eric Torres, whoever that front three is, play with reckless abandon. Whoever's underneath them, whether it's Alex Lima, whether it's Tomas Martinez, I want you guys to be reckless. I want you to go have fun. Don't worry about anything else. I'm going to tell the other 5 or 6 to stay home and cover you. Go score goals. We need to score goals on the road.
But remember the road and even at home, it was an issue, and I'm going to get to you in a second, Jan. But it was an issue. And remember in the beginning of the year, even though the Dynamo were winning and lighting it up, there were balance issues. They corrected the balance issues. They've gotten some draws on the road. They've seemed more stable from a team shape and compactness standpoint. But from a goal-scoring standpoint, they don't have it. So at what point what point, and I'll put this out to both you, Eddie, you go first. At what point do we have to start saying, look, the player performance is not living up to it on the road? Yes, it could be the manager. It could be the players. It could be both.
Well, I mean, what about Colorado at home 2 weeks ago? The player performance and the attacking side of the ball didn't live up to it. It wasn't good enough. It's up now. This is why coaches nowadays are called managers, because they have to manage these guys. They have to manage their egos. They have to manage their personalities. They have to manage mood swings up and down, confidence. How does Wilmer Cabrera bring that out of this group of guys that are not scoring goals right now, that we're so used to scoring them by the bunches at the beginning of the year?
Yan, what do you think? Why in the world of soccer and specifically MLS, such a difference in home and road? And look, we're going to get AJ De La Garza's quote as well here in a minute, and then we'll play Wilmer's. But what do you think it is?
Well, you know, I clearly believe that what you talked about earlier again is the pressure. The pressure. I don't think that there's enough pressure on the players. I simply do not believe that they're told, you know, guys, if you don't make the playoffs, if you don't play, if you don't give 110%, you're going to lose this and that, or we're going to do this. I don't think anything is happening to the, and I think it's also, look at Manchester City, for example. Now they play the same way, or look at Barcelona. They play the same way, home or away. They play the same way, and I think maybe some of our players are not good enough to tactical adjustments like that. I don't know. That's just a judgment.
In Wilmer's defense, remember in the beginning of the year, Wilmer Cabrera said we're going to play the same way on the road as we do at home. He's had to change that it wasn't working. Because he was giving up too much from a balance and team compact and shape type of thing, which was leaving them open. So he pulled that part of it back, and the Dynamo became competitive, got draws, showed better balance. But now it's down to, are you going to take two or three chances on the road? And the Dynamo aren't. They are not efficient on the road with their chances. And I think they've only scored 13 goals on the road out of all the goals they've scored this year. And they're going to break a Dynamo record this year for the amount of goals scored. But they may not make the playoffs.
Well, listen, the way that they play at home and the way that they play on the road had to be changed before Juan David Cabezas became a regular, before Leonardo got healthy and became a regular. Once that back four and Juan David Cabezas got together and became regular choices, that was about the only thing that was regular. I mean, let's don't forget what they've played 28, 29 games, and they've had 26 different starting lineups. I mean, how do you expect to have consistency when that happens? Yes, you're going to have a suspension here and there. Yes, you're going to have international call-ups. You're going to have injuries. But, man, the biggest, for me, in my experience, and yes, this was a few years ago, not in the current state of Major League Soccer, but one of the most important things to success on the road was consistency. Consistency in your starting 11. Consistency in the group of guys that you put out there that know how each other plays, that know how to get points.
713-780-3776. Weigh in tonight, Dynamo fans. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. Also, enough healthy pressure here in the United States. Was Alexi Lalas correct to call out the U.S. national team? Does that bother you that he did? Or do you think Michael Bradley could have handled it better as a captain? I love the first part of his response. I wish he had stopped there. 713-780-3776. Because the bottom line is, players are using platforms all the time. In fact, Michael has, decided even to talk politics with the platform that he's had. Okay, so, it can't work only one way. It works both ways. Yan, what about the sport of soccer, the platforms, social media, and the differences now for players here and the access they have to making statements?
Yeah, I think there's a huge opportunity for many, many players to show the world that they're other than soccer players. And look at Juan Mata, for example. Says he's going to donate 1% or whatever it is of his salary to humanitarian causes. So there's a guy using his platform and say, okay, you guys step up with me.
That's actually very cool, because he's enlisting other people to do that as well. 1% of the salary of Juan Mata is some real money.
Right.
And I know some of the U.S. women's national team players have jumped onto that initiative as well.
Right. And that's the kind of stuff that I think—
It's called Common Goal.
Common Goal. Okay. So I think it's fair enough not only to use the platform from an egotistical standpoint, saying, you know, I need to take the penalties in the games, you know, or like the Neymar situation, you know, but to talk, I find it completely fair for the players to talk about politics, to talk about humanitarian causes that they want to participate in.
Yeah, off the field and not at games.
Right.
That's
off
their
the
prerogative.
Field.
That's their right.
Yes.
It's a country of free speech.
Right.
On the other hand, I don't want to go to a football or a soccer match. I do not want to go to those and see people making political statements. That's my escape from all that stuff. That's just the way I look at it. We don't buy a ticket to go hear everybody's individual
exactly.
and personal needs.
No, no.
But I do love social media from the standpoint, as you said, you get to know the players a little bit deeper. 713-780-3776 is the number to call in here tonight. 713-780-3776.
Who's the caller?
To call in here tonight. All right, let's go to the phone lines, guys. You ready? Let's take a few phone calls. Jesse, what's on your mind tonight, Jesse?
Hey, Glenn, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you, Jesse?
Good, good. I just wanted to weigh in on comments on the U.S. national team. I think that everybody's entitled to their opinion. If there's one guy who can call out the players, I believe it's Alexis Lalas, because he was the face of the national team for so many years. I think that if anybody has a place to call them out, I think it's him. And I'm glad he did, because I'm a big L3 fan, but I don't think that it's a positive for CONCACAF if U.S. national team don't go to the World Cup.
Oh, it's a major... Think of the blow from a sponsorship level, and then think of the blow also, Jesse, purely from the momentum that the sport has in this country. Can you imagine with the Atlantis coming in and drawing 50, 60, and 70,000, and all of a sudden we don't go to the World Cup? Oof, that's a buzzkill.
The attendance in the World Cup would be another big issue, I believe. A lot of people from the U.S. national team travel with the team to the World Cup, and I think it'd be a big blow. I think in our region, in the CONCACAF region, because the way that CONCACAF has grown the last couple of years, with Panama, I think I've been impressed more with Panama than anybody else the last couple of years.
And by the way, the U.S. still has to play Panama. That's not going to be an easy game.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much, Glenn.
All right. Thank you. Good stuff from Jesse. Guys, weigh in on respond to Jesse Yan, and then Eddie, respond to Jesse's thoughts.
Well, I think he's absolutely right. If anybody can call them out, Alexis Lalas. You know, he did a lot. He's done a lot for U.S. soccer.
He's also got the biggest platform in the country.
Yes.
Hands down. I mean, you can't compare. I mean, his platform is the biggest of any single individual in the United States when it comes to soccer. Hands down.
Yeah. And you know, the players... Again, I have a problem with the players' attitude when it comes after they have a win, and then they go into the next game and just think, well, this is going to be easy because it is just, you know. So sometimes I think as America, we think we are too big. We think we El Salvador, Honduras, you know, whatever it is. That's no problem.
Do you really think that? Do you think we went in after the Costa Rica loss to Honduras thinking this was going to be easy? I don't believe that for a second.
No, Glenn, I was talking about the Costa Rica game. They went, we at home.
Oh.
We at home. It's easy. Man, it's Costa Rica at home. We never lose to Costa Rica at home. So there was a... I agree with you on that game. That's what I mean. I didn't mean...
They were not prepared for that game.
Right.
I don't know if it means they were disrespecting the opponent.
I don't think
But they did not
them.
Look prepared to me
nope.
by a coach.
Right.
And the players didn't look prepared to me.
No, I just think that the mental state was, this is easy. We at home. Costa Rica, we never lose to them at home. That's going to be easy. So I think that's a dangerous part here, and I think that's what happened.
I wish Bruce Arena would... tell some of these guys, you know what? You're not performing. Your attitude's not good. Out you go. I'm going to sit you out.
Wait, 14 straight games. He didn't lose a game. That's what they're going to tell you. 14 straight games. Didn't lose a game until
Where are they in World Cup qualifying right now? Where are they in World Cup qualifying right now?
I don't care. Changed off that weekend.
I don't care about the past. I don't care. So United States point is, qualify
was there
for the
a
World
little
Cup.
Too much of a love affair
Tell
with
Michael
Bruce's
Bradley,
return?
Tell Michael Bradley
was there
to
too
take
much
his
of
ego
a love affair with
and
Bruce's
check it.
Return.
Put Weston McKennie in there. Start against Bayern Munich yesterday. Put him in holding midfield. Sit
Eddie,
Michael Bradley down.
Eddie, do you think there was a little bit too much of a love affair with Bruce's return to the national team? I mean, I think we all wanted stability to return, and we saw that in Bruce. But was it over the top? Was it too much?
Listen, don't care if it's Bruce Arena or if it's Peter Vermees or whoever it is. You have one job. You have one job, right? Qualify this team for the World Cup. You have the talent in CONCACAF. There is absolutely no reason why you should finish below anyone but Mexico. And even that, with the talent that the United States has, with Christian Pulisic, with Weston McKennie, with Bobby Wood, with Fabian Johnson, all of these players that are playing in big-time leagues under a lot of pressure, which is what we've been talking about. There's no reason. There's absolutely no reason. You have players to fill in for some of these egos. Sit them down. Put them in check. Bruce Arena can do that.
I like it, Eddie. I like it. Strong statement there. 713-780-3776. Heading to break. Soccer fans, the real soccer pub in Edo is King's Court. 13 TVs at King's Court. They show the Premier League. The Dynamo El Bateon is down there. King's Court has 24 taps, a full bar, an extensive selection of spirits, plus wonderful pub food. KingsCourtTX.com. And also, don't forget, John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, 713-322-HURT. 713-322-HURT. When we come back, it's the DJ Sun, the Flat Music Pick of the Week, and we will continue with the soccer talk as well. Let's take a break. A pair of tickets right now. Dynamo LA Galaxy to the third caller at 713-780-3776.
ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
Messi. Oh, weaves around Galvez. Vidal, Messi. Magic 4. Unstoppable.
Wonderful. To the nth degree again. I fancied them for a sixth before the final whistle would come. And again, Messi ventures in to the labyrinth of the defence, and like the Minotaur finds his way out. Wonderful again.
Labyrinth, that was a movie with David Bowie. That was a good movie. All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. Quick word here for Bud Light. Nothing goes better together than great friends and Bud Light. It's a great time of the year now for soccer. All around the world, here in Houston, Dynamo making the playoff push. You can get your Dynamo tickets at HoustonDynamo.com. So get out to a Dynamo game. Get out to the L.A. game. Gio DeSantos and Jonathan DeSantos will be here. But most importantly, grab your friends and an ice cold bucket of Bud Lights, whether it's tonight, tomorrow, or any other day of the week. Remember, it's not about the parties. It's about the friends you made along the way. Bud Light is the official beer of Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. And again, your tickets to the Houston Dynamo at HoustonDynamo.com and Houston Dash at Houston-Soccer.com. They've only got one more game. Dennis Lewis weighs in and says, ever since they took Memo out of the lineup, 2 losses, 2 draws, no wins. So that's what we got from him. Again, we're on Facebook Live here. So Jan Christensen, Eddie Robinson in studio here tonight. All right, guys, so we come back. I want to start with you, Jan. Biggest surprise this year in the English Premier League for you?
Well, maybe it's not a surprise for many people, but for me, Man City, the way they have played has really surprised me in a wonderful way. I think that shows Pep Guardiola's strength as a coach to get everything out of their players. I really judge that Kevin De Bruyne now is in the top 3 players in the world.
Really?
I really. Wow. And I think
it's
all
big statement, yeah.
All three midfielders in Man City, Fernandinho and David De Silva, and they can dominate a game totally. And look how he moves them around, left or right. They never know where they're going to play the opponent. And I just think their dominance and him getting more out of Sterling, I think Raheem Sterling is better than he has been since he started at Liverpool. And I think Sergio Aguero is getting... I mean, Pep Guardiola just has a way to get out of players that the maximum out of players.
But Yanni was getting criticized by everybody. He's not last year, not adapting to the Premier League.
Right.
Pep is getting what he deserves. He's arrogant. And
that takes time. It takes time to make players understand his concept. But I can clearly...
Doesn't it take time for him to adjust to the Premier League?
Yes, absolutely. Those two things, and then...
So this is the year. If he doesn't win this year something big, he's gone.
Yeah, I think, I still believe that his biggest threat is Man United, and I still think that Man City is a better team than United because they have more depth.
Oh, Manchester United fans, you just heard it from Jan Christensen.
Well, I'm a Man United fan.
He just said City over United, the more attractive soccer, the better soccer. I don't know. I'm picking Manchester United and City second. Eddie, your thoughts on what is the biggest surprise to you in the Premier League this year?
I think Huddersfield Town, sitting in sixth place. Two wins, two draws, and a loss.
Three Danish players on the team.
And I'm going to say this.
That's the only reason why.
with air quotations, the American manager, David Wagner.
Yep.
That's huge.
Wagner.
He said, I'm American, Glenn. I can say
he's
it
German-American.
All I want to. Just leave me alone.
All right,
They play Burnley this weekend. If they win that game, they're on 11 points. Chelsea currently sit third in 10 points. I mean, this is an awesome story. I mean, I don't think... You could really be surprised that Newcastle's done as well as they've done. What are they, fourth or fifth on 9 points? But Huddersfield, I mean, this is a small club that just has been promoted to the Premier League, and look what they're doing. I think it's fantastic. I can't help but root for them every game. I want to see them win. Tottenham in 2 weeks. Manchester United, I think, after that or not after that, two after that. So they've got Swansea coming up. They've got Burnley coming up. I mean, they could collect some points, and all of a sudden, wow.
Well, how about this? Consider this, both of you, and I want your reaction to this. So Wagner obviously was an assistant under Jurgen Klopp, mm-hmm. right, at Dortmund? Yeah. Possible U.S. manager one day?
I wouldn't be opposed to it. I certainly wouldn't be opposed to it, but with the success he's having, let's say he continues that over the next 2 or 3 years, and another big job comes. Let's say Jurgen Klopp. I mean, Liverpool's not – in the best shape right now, are they? I mean, there are plenty of Premier League teams that are strict that may, hey, let's take a chance on this guy. He's 2 or 3 years. Would you choose the U.S. national team or would you choose a top-tier Premier League team? I mean, that would be the question, but I wouldn't be opposed to it at all.
By the way, David Wagner, it was in the late 90s that, I can't remember the other guy's name, but Steve Sampson actually found him as a German-American when he was a coach of the team. There were two German-Americans that were brought over at that time, so... Jurgen Klinsmann wasn't the first to be looking for the German-American tie at military bases over in Europe. Okay. Steve Sampson had already tried that back then as well. All right, switching gears back to Major League Soccer and the separation of clubs in this league now. Yan, we got the Atlanta United's coming in. 70,000, they set a record. 60-something, 70-something million on a training facility. Spending money on the youth programs. They're coming in big. LAFC is going to come in big. Toronto FC doing it big. There's more mechanisms now in place with targeted allocation money.
Philadelphia built a school for their academy.
Yeah, but I'm talking, I don't put Philly on the same level as these others.
Level,
but what I'm saying is
the future,
there is a separation now.
Yeah.
Billionaire owners are putting it out there. The Stan Kroenkes in Colorado aren't. The Robert Krafts in New England aren't. And with Tam and Gam, you have a way of really separating your real intentions to really truly invest in teams and be committed to winning. And frankly, I'm a big believer that what you invest also is a statement on how badly you want to win. So I want your takes on now this changing dynamic in Major League Soccer when it comes to ownership and club culture, and not just having a good team, but club.
I'll be quick with this. I think when you look at it, it's very easy to say Atlanta's spending a ton of money. Toronto's spending a ton of money. Vancouver's spending a ton of money. These clubs are spending a ton of money, but the money is spent by intelligent individuals. Tata Martino and Carlos Bocanegra and Atlanta, they know what they're doing. It was Bezbachenko and Greg Vanney in Toronto. These guys, they're not just going and spending money, right? I mean, you look at Orlando. They went and spent money, but how reliable has Kaká been this year? He's been injured. He's had some issues. He hasn't been the same.
Not this year, but he was an important buy because he galvanized the community. There's no doubt.
Of course, 100%. But you look at Atlanta, and they're buying guys that are 22, 23, 24, that are scoring goals, that are going to be there for the long run. And if they're going to go sell them for $5, $6, $7 million, well, guess what? They've just doubled their money. The people that you put in charge to spend the money, the owner puts in charge to spend the money, is just important as the players you spend that money on.
All right, so Atlanta United has the DP model. That's with the younger players. Toronto FC is a little different with their DP investment. Your thoughts, Jan?
Well, I think clear what Eddie says also. The management, look at the management in Atlanta. That's a really soccer guys. It is soccer guys that understand the game, that's been at the top level themselves. And I really think that that is to see, well, we as you said, Glenn, you need to spend money. You need to spend money if you want to be, but you also need to have the talented people. This guy, he 21, he's going to be good. He's going to be good. He's going to be good. I mean, we having the youth programs or having the youth develop directors that can see stuff like that, and having a president that understands soccer. I think that's what Houston Dynamo has been lacking. I don't think that the management of Houston Dynamo understands soccer.
Stan Kroenke, $7.5 billion. Robert Kraft worth $2.5 billion. You think they could put a little bit more into their teams? I would think so.
They can do that or give me some.
I would think so.
I'll do it for them.
My thanks to Jan Christensen, Eddie Robinson, Danish Inspirations, Contemporary Furniture in the House. Big thanks to Liberty Kitchen for coming in here tonight, and our good friend Lance Feegan. River Oaks, Garden Oaks, Memorial City Heights, thank you for all the great food tonight. For Tyler Scott, Victor Ariza, I'm Glenn Davis. Until next Wednesday at 7 o'clock, good night.
ESPN 97.5.